Good morning. My name is Eddie, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the call on Hubble's acquisition of Oclaro Technologies conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise, and after the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star and the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw the question, press the pound key. Thank you. I'd now like to turn the call over to Ms. Maria Lee. You may begin the conference, ma'am.
Thanks, Eddie. Good morning, everyone. Hubble announced it has entered into a definitive agreement to acquire Oclaro Technologies, LLC, this morning. The transaction, which is expected to be completed in the first quarter of 2018, is subject to the satisfaction of customary closing conditions, including U.S. antitrust clearance. The press release and transaction slide materials have been posted to the investor section of our website at www.hubble.com. Please note that our comments this morning may include statements related to the expected future results of our company and our forward-looking statements as defined by the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Therefore, please note the discussion of forward-looking statements in our press release and consider it incorporated by reference into this call. In addition, comments may also include non-GAAP financial measures. Those measures are reconciled to the comparable GAAP measures and are included in the press release and the transaction slide materials. Now let me hand the call over to Dave Lord.
All right. Thanks, Maria. Hey, and thanks for joining us. I know it's been a busy holiday season. As you can imagine, certainly very busy for the Hubble team. Hope everyone had a nice holiday weekend. I'm actually joined today, Bill Sperry's here, as well as Gerben Bakker, Group President for our Power Systems business. And they'll give you, Bill will give you a little bit more details on the transaction itself, and Gerben can provide a little more perspective on the business that is we've signed an agreement with. But you know, as you saw this morning, we announced we entered in a definitive agreement to acquire Oclaro Technologies for $1.1 billion from Sun Capital Partners. We're really excited about this acquisition. A lot of opportunities it offers us for value creation for our customers and certainly for our shareholders. This is a large transaction for us, obviously. In fact, the largest in Hubble's history. But to be clear, this acquisition is very consistent with our long-term growth strategy of buying companies. And as we've talked about continually with you all over the course of my tenure here, there's some key fundamentals in those acquisitions. You know, acquisitions that complement our core markets, have reputable products and solutions, and ideally come along with talented people. And I think, you know, this acquisition that we've signed an agreement on certainly fits that, all of that profile completely. You know, Oclaro gives us end-to-end smart infrastructure solutions for electric, water, and gas utilities, and it's proposed to join a power systems business. As you all know, power is one of our highest margin and highest return businesses and has a solid track record of successfully integrating acquisitions. So it's no better place for, you know, the largest acquisition in Hubble's history than to fit right into our power business. You know, by putting our balance sheet to work to invest in power with Oclaro's high-quality communicative components, we really think we're going to complement and strengthen the competitive positioning of both businesses. You know, together we can provide critical applications to a broader set of utility customers and also accelerate our innovation to address the utility's demand for data and integrated solution. So with that, let me turn it over to Bill. He'll take you through some of the specifics, details of the deal. And then we'll get to Gerben to talk about the business itself. Bill?
Thank you, Dave, and thanks, everybody, for joining us. These transactions, I know, always seem to happen on long weekends, and isn't always the most convenient time. But we really appreciate you joining because we're excited to share this news with you all. You know, Hubble obviously been an acquisitive enterprise, and we speak with you all very frequently about our pipeline and our intention to continue to be acquisitive. As you all know, those transactions tend to be in that $30 to $50 million range. So This is a sizable investment, and as Dave said, we're excited to be making it as an add-on to our power segment. We signed the agreement with the support of our lead bank group with a committed financing package. By the time we close, which is expected to be in the first quarter of next year, we expect we'll be using a mix of commercial paper and term loans, as well as 10-year bonds. That initial leverage coming out of that, you'll see we're at a debt to adjusted EBITDA of just over 3x. We think it's a pretty opportune time to be using the balance sheet like this. Our anticipation is that tax reform will allow us to get some international cash back and pay down some debt, and as well, we're expecting to be free cash flow generative, and so that's why you see we've called out there some of the mix of prepayable type debt in our sources of funds. You see in the financial metrics, we're essentially buying $90 million of EBITDA is what Aclara generated in their fiscal year that ended essentially 3 months ago in September. And really, we expect to add some better context for you around the financial implications when we do our first quarter call towards the end of January. But for now, what we can talk about is the fact that in 2017's fourth quarter, we will have some business development costs related to the transaction that will add less than a dime of drag in the fourth quarter of 17. And then there'll be additional business development costs that are recognized next year, along with a kind of front-end loaded acquisition accounting of amortization of the intangibles. And so adding some of those costs back will be accretive next year, and in 19, be GAAP accretive. We think that's some compelling financial metrics there. And as Maria had highlighted at the opening, the expected to close in the first quarter with typical conditions left. I'm going to go to page 4 of the slides that Maria referenced, because we really do feel like this is a good fit from a strategic perspective. And Dave highlighted that we're starting off the strong base of Hubble Power Systems, obviously a trusted provider of components that are critical to helping utilities manage their business. As you all have watched it, it's a high-margin business. It also generates high returns on invested capital. And it really has been Hubble Power System history is built up through acquisitions, and they've been a very good integrator of acquisitions. And recently, they've been one of our leaders in adding acquisitions to their base. So we feel like we're starting with that point. Aclara really adds a really nice complement, and Gervin's going to go much more deeper into what Aclara does. But if you essentially think of them as a meters business and a communications business, you've got them adding components to Gervin's portfolio that are really important to the performance of utility grids. The meters themselves are obviously the cash registers. They're points, important points of control. The sensors allow for grid monitoring, which really help utilities do predictive maintenance and ultimately reduce their O&M expense, which is quite valuable to them. They're able to shed load and use these sensors to essentially help them not need to add additional capacity. The customer bases, we feel, are nicely complementary. Aclara's got a real strength on some of the public utility side with co-ops. Gervin's strength more, I'd say, in the investor-owned utilities. So we're expecting a good complement there as we help each other. And as we mentioned, some attractive financial returns. We feel a prudent use of the balance sheet, taking it to 3x and paying some of that off pretty quickly. There's potential for synergies. On the cost side, You know, we noted here, you can see there's almost 300 engineers. We feel those folks are going to be really critical in adding some of the smarts to the products that we want to keep. And so it's more an add-on and less overlapping on the cost synergy side, although there will be some. And we do think there'll be some sales synergies. We talked about accretion before, but also the ROIC is above our cost of capital. So we're pleased about how it fits and what it does financially. And I'm just going to turn it to Gerben and ask him to help describe for you a little bit better about what Eclair actually does.
Great. Thank you, Bill, and good morning to everybody. I will build on Bill's and Dave's comment and give you a little deeper insight into Eclair. But I want to start with reiterating how excited we are about the strategic fit of Eclair with our Hubbell utility businesses. With a fully complementary product portfolio, the combination of Eclair's smart infrastructure solutions and services, together with what Hubbell Power System has been known for as critical infrastructure component, will give us a unique opportunity to serve our customers with a fully integrated grid solutions. So you got the hardware, you got the communications, and then you got the data. As a general comment, I'd say Eclair's 1,200 or so employees that will join Hubbell upon closing of this transaction will add tremendous value, and we're excited to work with this talented group that will join Hubbell to continue to advance our collective success. So if we turn to page 5, and I'll provide through the next 3 or 4 pages increasing levels of depth into what the business does. But starting at a higher level of the overview, it's really a turnkey solutions provider, and not similar to how Power Systems has been built up. This business also has been built up to what it is today through organic investments and bolt-on acquisitions. If you start with the meters at the bottom, these are electric metering devices, or they sit at the edge of the utility grid. So still a utility component, but at the very edge of their the space. These are generally been a cash register. But as Bill indicated, the smart meters of today are starting to take on more and more capabilities that add value for customers. I'll talk about some of those in a minute. Then to pull all these smart meters together, they have the advanced metering infrastructure. And these are really the communication devices that integrate the meters with the head-end system of the utility customers. The software services business, it's a piece that they acquired in the last year or so, and this enables, it's software-enabled deployment services, and it allows Eclair to provide complete turnkey solution. This is especially important in the public power markets, where customers oftentimes want a turnkey solution of meters, AMI, and the installation services. And then finally, they have the sensors and controls. And these are grid monitoring and control devices that give utilities real-time visibility into the distribution network to optimize performance. And in our power systems business, we have spent the last several years, and I've talked about this, our ambitions in the smart grid effort to work on these types of products. And they as well have a small portfolio of products that would be complementary to our existing efforts that could overlay this AMI infrastructure and communications infrastructure. If we turn to page 6, you can see that Eclair is a well-established market leader, revenues of about $500 million with a strong focus of North America. And this, again, is very similar to Power Systems' existing focus. The other point is that about 75% of their revenue is electric utility. And this is obviously a market we know very well. However, as Dave said, their strength is in the public power market, and our strength is a lot more in the IOU and distributor relations. And that combination, we believe, provides a strong synergy going forward. The other thing to note is they do have about 15%, a little under 15% international presence, and the combination of their sales efforts with ours are also provide a strategic synergy. And again, I've talked in the past about our ambitions to continue to grow international, and this will help with that effort. It has demonstrated strong financial performance with high margin and high growth rates. Turning to the backlog and the visibility we have into the future with this business, they have a little over $1 billion in backlog, but in addition to that, they also have another $2 billion of qualified pipeline. And these are projects that are either in the RFQ or in the inquiry stage. So pretty good visibility on the projects actually occur. You add that together with the activities that they have in new products that will, in essence, increase the serviceable addressable market, and this provides us confidence and visibility into their future sales growth. Finally, they have a direct sales force like Hubble Power Systems, and we believe that the combination of our two sales forces will provide us the ability to service our customers even better. Turning to page 7, I'll talk now a little bit more specifically about each of the three segments. And you start on the left with meters. It represents about 50% of their revenues, electric meters. And really, this product has a very strong legacy of quality and innovation, a significant installed base with over 30 million endpoints, and a meter that is agnostic to AMI systems. So you can plug this meter in even if you select a different AMI system from Aclara. The technology in the meter is evolving from what has traditionally been just a cash register to now meters that have the ability to connect and disconnect, to provide outage notification, demand response, power quality monitor. This is something that's becoming increasingly important with renewables and other features. So the replacement cycle of these meters are really driven by next generation innovation and benefits. Also, I'd say this is a very strong synergy with HPS' existing portfolio of hardware. If you turn to the right-hand side, about 40% of their revenues is AMI, advanced metering infrastructure, or the communication link and data management system. What this consists of is data transmission and collector units that are deployed throughout the grid. So these are state-of-the-art electronic devices or hardware in essence. And this is overlaid by software solutions that integrate into the utility's head-end software. Aclara here offers a interchangeable communication technology portfolio suited for not only electric but also for gas and water application, and also suited for the particular needs within some of these markets, whether you're a more rural application or whether you're a more populous application. So they have the different technologies to not only deploy in different requirements of customers, but also can serve combo utilities. So if you have an electric and gas utility, you can deploy the same AMI system, Aclara's AMI system, to serve those needs. And again, on the AMI, they're very strong in the public power market, which we believe is a nice complement, a nice synergy with our business. And our strength in the IOU market will help them penetrate further into that part of our market. Then finally, pulling all of this together is their grid solutions. And this is more than an installation services business. This is a software-enabled deployment system. And the key to their success is the deployment productivity that they're able to provide through their software solution. It provides the installers with a mobile workforce device. It allows real-time tracking of project, inventory management, and workforce assignment. So it really makes the deployment of meters and AMIs and the advanced sensors and monitoring much more efficient, and it's a key differentiator in turnkey solutions. If we turn to page 8 and we talk a little bit about the market drivers, again, they service the electric, principally the electric, but also the gas and water markets. And the one thing that we see common to all of these markets is the aging infrastructure. We've talked a lot about this, the need to harden the electric grid, and that's no different than in the gas and as well in the water segments. On the electric side particular, there's a focus in the industry on O&M expense reduction. And basically the meters, the smart meters, and the AMI system provide an attractive value proposition, especially when you look at, you know, load shedding, which is so important in electric utility, distributed generation, which is becoming very important. So the CapEx deployment to save O&M expense is a very attractive value proposition for electric utilities.
Yeah, just maybe, Gerben, it's worth commenting on the gas side. You know, we've been talking with you all about some investments we've been making there, building up what we believe is the largest main-to-meter components for the last mile of the gas distribution infrastructure. And so similarly there, you've got concerns of an aging infrastructure, and we're selling components that can easily mix with what Eclair is doing in terms of sensing for gas leaks and the like. So while most of this has an electric utility value proposition, it is worth mentioning that over on our electrical segment, we do have this gas business, which we think fits also very nicely here.
Great. Yeah, and then turning even to the water, it's the smallest part of our business, but within power, we also have a part of our portfolio, our enclosures business specifically, that serves the water market. So there, too, we believe it provides synergies for us. I'll end on page 9, and really page 9 is a visualization of the product portfolio of Eclaira onto the grid. And I won't take you through all of it. I think it's worth taking some time and looking where the different components fit in, but the thing to take away on this is you see green, blue, and red, which is electric, gas, and water application, pretty broadly deployed along the grid. And where this becomes really interesting and what they have already and what I believe we will continue to add on to it is additional components. So if you look at the top right-hand corner and you see zone scan and valve monitoring control, these are water monitoring devices, and if you look in water, that one in every 7 gallons is lost to leaks, and you can deploy sensors and devices that control that, it becomes a pretty attractive value proposition for customers. So this is where we see very much continuing to add the portfolio of Hubble Power Systems and elements of smarts onto this grid to continue to provide a excellent value proposition for our customers. So I hope this has provided you with a little bit of insight into the depths of Eclaira, and I'm now turning it back over to Dave for some closing remarks.
All right, thanks, Gerben. So, you know, hopefully you can clearly gather from this the financial capability that we're putting to work here. But more importantly, you know, the real value proposition that this business really brings to Hubble. You know, it's complementary to our power systems portfolio. It helps to strengthen our competitive position. It expands our presence in the utility, and particularly the smart grid solutions. And I think that the expansion of the capability and competitive position, I think is all more important, and what the market is looking for from a solution standpoint. So adding to our capability, we think is very value creating. Aclara is bringing with it some tremendous expertise from their own product portfolio and their own solutions that we think can further enhance our existing products. You know, and you know, as Bill talked about, we're allocating capital to our high margin, high return businesses. We are very, if you can't tell, we're very excited about this because, you know, you've all heard me and Bill and Maria at times talking about our investment portfolio and our investment strategy. And I think the question has come up, you know, many times, you know, would you do anything larger? And we said we would for the right opportunity. And our board is certainly supportive, has always been supportive for the right opportunity. And I think this is, you know, really is a tremendous opportunity. And I think it's evidenced by the fact that, you know, we're actually having to announce something in what would otherwise be a pretty slow investment week, because when the opportunities present themselves, you have to take advantage of it. And so, well, I will apologize on behalf of the team for, you know, hopefully the message gets out. But we really do believe this is a tremendous add to our portfolio. One is financially manageable, and I think it's going to have some great returns going forward. So with that, maybe I can open it up to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press the star and the number one on your telephone keypad. I'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We have the first question coming from Rick Kras from Wells Fargo. Your line is open, sir.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning. All right.
So, Dave, on any idea on cross synergies here over the next couple of years? Looks like their business is on an EBIT margin basis materially below core power. So just curious on how you've seen this play out on the cost side, and then looks like maybe there's some revenue synergy potential down the line, but just any color on that would be helpful.
Yeah, Rich. I mean, certainly there's always synergies, and particularly on both sides. I think, as you rightly note, the Aclara team under Sun's leadership has done a really nice job of improving this business. But certainly there's more opportunities as they come into, you know, our portfolio. But I would also say that I would expect that there could be some opportunities even within our existing business. It's a very well-run organization, and they do some things differently that, you know, I think, you know, similar to the way we approached Burndy several years ago, taking some of the learnings from the things that they did and applying it to our business and enhancing the value of our existing business. So I think there is some. I mean, it's too early to size that. I think, and we, as you know, don't typically put much of those synergies in our own model for valuation. We think it has good returns with modest cost and sales synergies. We certainly think there's a lot of opportunity on the sales synergy side with our complementary market positions, our complementary products. So I think, you know, I would say there's probably more bias to revenue synergies going forward than on the cost side. But okay.
Okay. And then on, as we think about technology, you mentioned the sensor business that they recently acquired, or software business. What's the percentage of sales that service that's recurring revenue? You know, it talks about 30% being MRO, but is there a percentage that's kind of recurring service that is coming out of this? And then as we think about the technology within the portfolio, can some of that be transferred over to the electrical side, or is this really just specific to the power business?
Yeah, I think the if you think about that MRO component, that's just maintaining, you know, installed base. I do agree. When you think about Girvan's business having more like two-thirds MRO on the distribution side, it's a little bit understated, because what Aclara's doing is developing that next-generation product. And so it's, rather than kind of maintaining, you're upgrading with a better value proposition, Rich. So you're actually selling them something that's better and has value proposition to it. And so I'd think that MRO piece a little bit, it sounds understated when you think about what's really happening, as opposed to all new projects.
Okay. All right. And then just real quick, separately, just as you know, I think you talked, Bill, you talked about a dime in terms of development costs for the quarter. Is there any comments around the underlying business trends in the fourth quarter and relative to guidance?
No, we do not have any comments on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is coming from Jeff Sprague from Vertical Research. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Nice little stocking stuffer here. Congrats.
Thanks.
I realize this is a roll-up of a few different assets, but to the extent that you can you give us a little color on what the historical growth rate's been the last two or three years on a organic basis? Maybe you have to deconstruct that into some of the pieces. I don't know, but a little bit of color there would be helpful.
Yeah, I think it does. That disaggregation kind of makes it hard to do that. So we tried to show in Gerben's chart there what some of the growth rates of installed smart meters has been in the three different markets, because we feel that's reflective of how they're growing now and how the combined entities are expected to grow. And it's interesting, Jeff, as you go back to our interest in this property, and we saw different pieces of this over the years, and it's precisely some of the assembling and all that coming together that made it actually most attractive to us, and seeing that grow all together rather than in the disparate components of it.
Yeah. So, I thought maybe these growth rates that you showed on these charts were indication. I guess would this be a solid indication for the entire portfolio, or really kind of more the, I mean, it says communicating meters, right? I mean, I don't know what percent of the total portfolio.
Yeah, if you mean by portfolio all of power systems, it would not be indicative of all of power systems. But yes, they're indicative of the Aclara portfolio, yes.
Yeah, it's indicative of
yes.
Aclara. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Also curious, this very large warranty charge in the rearward-looking numbers, what was that, and is that fully behind the company?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, it was a very unique application involving battery life and in a rural application. And so there are other warranty elements, and we spent a lot of time in diligence scratching at all that. And so that add back really refers to this very unique application that is behind the company. Yes.
Is there inherently, though, kind of bespoke, for lack of a better term, kind of bespoke project work or the like that, you know, you're subject to those sorts of mishaps in a business like this?
Well, there's certainly embedded in the 90, and going forward, how we model it, there is warranty expense, not of that magnitude. And Gerben can maybe provide some color. A lot of times as a product works, there's commercial remedies as to how you work out something like that rather than showing up formally as warranty. But yes, our model is the 90 and the model is burdened by the typical warranty expense, just not the atypical. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would agree, Jeff. You know, we looked very hard at this particular issue and at the ongoing level of warranty for exactly the point that you state. So not only did we look at the actual event, we looked at their processes in the business. So when we look at their new product development process, when we looked at their quality control processes, that's where we started to get comfort in the fact that this is more an unusual event than an indication of ongoing issues. But this kind of business and even our own power business has a level of these kind of events that happen. And again, as Bill stated, we've modeled in historical costs for such events.
Great. And then just two quick financial ones for Bill. Just, Bill, what are you assuming for kind of a, you know, blended financing cost? Looks like you're looking at a, you know, mix of different structures here, but kind of net-net, what are you plugging into the acquisition model?
Yeah, I think as we get to our earnings release in late January, I think we'll be more specific. But, yeah, you're talking about, you know, 10-year bond rates, maybe in the mid threes or so, Jeff, and overnight rates being in the mid ones, and so blending between that, you know, is kind of, I think, how you'd think about where we'll end up.
Okay. And then just one other last one for me. You also mentioned, you know, tax reform and being able to unstrand some cash as part of that. Given that tax reform is law, and we're here on the phone here, post signage, any you know, high-level thoughts you'd like to share with us on ramifications for Hubbell, ongoing tax rate, things of that nature?
I think, again, it's probably better to do that on our call when we're giving guidance for 18. But certainly the pieces of having a mandatory repatriation impact to Q4, a cash, you know, recovery from international locations coming back, and then a going forward lower tax rate on an effective basis. If that basic construct is how you've been thinking about it, that's how it's going to impact us.
Great. Thank you, guys. Congrats.
Okay.
Nice. Thank you.
The next question is coming from Mr. Steve Tusa from J.P. Morgan. Your line is open.
Hello.
Hey, Steve. We heard you for a second, Steve.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yep. Can hear
yep.
you now. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. Good morning, and echo Jeff's congrats on the deal. You guys have been pretty patient, and it's good to see a big one come through. Just on this specific business you're buying, I know that there was a, you know, in the fourth quarter of 15, there was like a $200 million transaction of GE's business. What else is in here, or is this basically the business? You know, what's the difference between the business they bought back then and what you're buying now?
Yeah, so it went back to what came out of Emerson was the Eclaira name, which was the comms business originally, and they did and that was ESCO, and that they added two different acquisitions to that to be able to handle all three modes of comms between RF and cellular and power line. And so they put three things together after that. Then they went through a phase and added the meters, which you're mentioning. Since then, they've added on grid monitoring side, which is some of the more predictive maintenance. And so there's been a bit of a roll-up here, you know, Steve, over the years.
Added at the software and analytics business as well.
That makes a ton of sense. So how should we think about kind of what you're going to report as an EBIT margin? Is it essentially, you know, we take that adjusted EBITDA, take out what their kind of DNA is, and then essentially we assume some sort of amortization, you know, kind of run rate amortization you guys are going to have to book. Can you give any kind of clarity or visibility around what that kind of run rate amortization is going to be?
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the January call because I think it makes more sense in the context of guidance. But, you know, we'll break out what we think the acquisition accounting will be, for, you know, the goodwill versus the intangibles. And we'll talk a little bit about how some of that is front-end loaded, Steve, right? Because basically you've got some inventory step-ups, plus you're burning off some of the backlog amortization. So year one is more intensive than kind of the next 10 years, if you will. And we
okay.
can talk a little, we'll talk a little bit about those levels. But you're right, there's that acquisition accounting is sort of important how it affects our kind of reported numbers. So we'll talk you through that in context of our guidance.
And any thoughts on you guys moving to cash EPS after this deal? Because it looks like it's going to be pretty, pretty significantly cash accretive. Or are you sticking with the GAAP construct?
Yeah, I think we'd like to be able to give you that information so that so you can understand what the cash EPS is. But I think you'll see us referring to GAAP guidance as well.
Okay. And then one last one. Sorry, just the competitive dynamics in the industry. Metering seems like a pretty attractive opportunity, but over the long term, there's the actual meters seem to have a bit of price pressure associated with them. Is that, are you assuming kind of pricing here and competitive dynamics that, this is kind of a solid volume opportunity, but, more of kind of a neutral from a price perspective over the long term?
Yeah, the way, Steve, those 280 engineers, what they're doing is turning that old version meter into a new version meter. So you're kind of reinventing yourself a little bit and you're preventing any kind of erosion on. So if you get the same meter, maybe would start to face the erosion, you're kind of introducing a new one and preventing that from affecting your financials.
Got it. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Congrats again.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. I would just like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press the star and the number one on your telephone keypad. The next question is coming from Mr. Josh Pokrzywinski from Wolf Research. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Brandy Goldring on for Josh. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Does having critical mass and power make you want to rethink other parts of your portfolio now? Like, for example, does lighting lose emphasis from you? Is that something you'd be interested in selling now?
We're always reviewing our portfolio, but I think we've also had a history of having a strong power business and in a separate reporting segment for that reason, and then in our electrical segment, really distinct advantages within electrical segment and. And so we really look at that portfolio independent of the power portfolio. So, no change at this point.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more further questions at this time. You may continue.
Okay.
Okay, thanks everyone for joining us. Steve and I and Bill and Gerben will be around all day today, and we're happy to take calls. Also tomorrow morning, and of course can catch up in the new year as well as convenient for you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
This ends this conference call. You may now disconnect. Thank you for your attendance.